Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us life on this beautiful earth which you created. And thank you for your Holy Bible with Jesus, the Word. And we get to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and in His name we pray. Amen. Our society thinks about Jesus at this Christmas time of year, and we who follow Christ remember Jesus Christ and the worship and praise of Jesus Christ throughout the year. And certainly we all remember Jesus at the Christmas time of year, and that is what our society does. And we remember Jesus always. And in the few days is going to be the shortest day of the year. It was on the December 21st, 2023. And now we are going to have 2 minutes more a day of sunlight until the longest day of the year, which is on June 21st, the summer solstice. So God made the seasons, and God made the earth, and all that is in the earth. And we thank our Lord for creating the earth and us. So it is beautiful to see the things of the earth. It is beautiful to see and to hear the beautiful geese flying south for the winter. It's beautiful to see this earth that God created. And we do live in a system that is not always good. No, in fact, sometimes it is evil, and it makes a part of our life evil as we go through the troubles in the, call it the political world. There are people who manipulate the system, and we just get through it as we give God thanks and praise. And we have an eternal heavenly life to look forward to with joy and peace and safety, and hoorah for that. Well, the world has so much that is, is trouble. There are things that we see which we would like to avoid. Trouble here and there, and we want to pursue God's righteous order. And we get to evaluate how to do that. And certainly a part of it is the Ten Commandments. And part of it is the two commandments, to love God and love your neighbor. So all these things we seek to do and have a wonderful, fulfilling life as we do them. Well, probably everyone has chosen to follow something, let's just say unfortunate. It might even be a sinful desire. But we get reminded to go back to the ways of God. And you can call that the Ten Commandments or the Two Commandments, to love God and love your neighbor. Well, we all seem to get off track in life, and then we get back on track to loving and worshiping God. So that's what we do as we go through life. We make adjustments and we say, yes, Lord, and do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, life certainly goes better when we acknowledge, praise, and worship Jesus Christ. And we have Jesus in our hearts and in our mind. And especially at this time of year, when we think of, I think of Luke 2:14, where it says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." There were angels and shepherds that gave praise to God in that passage in Luke chapter 2. And so we say yes and amen as we seek to do the will of God on earth. And a part of that is compassion towards other people. And sometimes we have to forgive other people. And we have Jesus who forgave us and forgives sins when we confess and we turn from our sinful way. Yes, we have many different lessons in life, and the Bible is full of witnesses to a change in life and the glory of God. So what can we do? Well, we represent Jesus Christ to the people we know and love on earth, and even the people we do not know and love and on that live in earth. And that is what the missionaries do. Sometimes we are a missionary, and sometimes we support missionaries financially. And that is the opportunity to show God's love to the world, to our neighbors, to the people who we think are trouble. But when people love Christ, it changes the world. And that is what we want. We want to make the world a better place to live. And of course, we want to live according to God's righteousness, which is reflected in the Ten Commandments, or the Two Commandments, to love God and love your neighbor. Well, we have a way that is right to God, and we want to seek and follow that. Now, it can be called the Ten Commandments that, of course, are good, and they lead us toward a better and more lovely society. So we remember them, and that's what they are. They remind us of how to live. We have all fallen short of obeying God's will and God's laws, but we all can repent and turn to God's law and God's will, and that will make the world a better place. And that will make our life better as we have joy in following the will of God. Now, we live in a world that does not follow the will of God. Why, we hear it on the news. We hear that there is hate and death and war in the world. And wouldn't it not be wonderful if everyone had the love of Jesus Christ in their heart and in their mind? Well, we all start someplace, don't we? And we put it into our heart and our mind, and we tell our children about the love of Jesus. And that is a way that we put the love of Christ in the mind and the heart of other people. So remember, I hope you do, to support our Christian ministries or missionaries as they go around the world, including to our own country. Don't you know we need Christian missionaries in the United States of America. So let us support them whenever we can. The world is full of all sorts of things that are ungodly. Oh, just lots of things. So we want to make the world a better place, and that means we follow the laws of God. You know, in the rest of the world, there's some pretty awful things that go on. Even in our own country, there are things that are just plain awful. There are people who talk about slavery being awful, and it is awful. But this is the way of the world. There have always been slaves in the world. The word slave seems to have come from the Slavic people. So it's just a kind of an interesting thing. How many cultures have had slaves? The Romans, the Greeks, the Aztecs, and Incas, they all had slaves. The Native Americans had slaves. Now I think of, a proof that the Native Americans had slaves was from the government documents of the Tale of Tears, the Trail of Tears, in about 1850, where the government recorded who went where, as the government required the Indian tribes to do. But the government records show that the Native Americans owned about somewhere between 6,500 and 8,500 Negro slaves that were owned by the Native Americans. So I just say that to illustrate slavery has always existed through every people group on the earth and in the United States. And it's something which certainly we don't think is a good thing. And we want to remember that what we are doing is bringing freedom to the world as best we know how. And we think of how the basis of the United States is with our Constitution and our Bill of Rights, and our founding fathers who proposed what it took to be a free and religious society. So what do we have today? A society that is giving up on its Christianity, and we are seeming to go someplace else. We're seeming to have war in the world, and the United States is participating in war here. And that we want to do as a people group of Americans? Well, we look at war, and it doesn't look so good, but still it goes on all over the world. We have a brutal war going on right now between Palestine in Gaza and Israel. And there are many factors that are going on. Sometime we say, if the Palestinians could only have a homeland, it would be easier. Well, let's try to make a better place for them, and we end up with terrorism here and there. Now, I say that, but the other countries in the Middle East do not want to accept the Palestinians because the countries in the Middle East have accepted Palestinians in the past, and they have found that those Palestinians would oppose the government of the country they were allowed in. So, after a couple of years or more years, the Palestinians would get exiled, rejected, forced to leave the country. And so That's something that is known today among the Middle Eastern or the Arabic countries or the Muslim countries. So it's a problem that I certainly don't know the answer to, but it shows an example of why there is problem in the Middle East. And, of course, everybody wants safety. The Palestinians want safety, too, and they want their own way of life. So they have made many kilometers of tunnels under Gaza to stay out of the eye and to stay in the protection of the earth. Well, there's lots of things going on in that area of the world, and there's a lot of conflict. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just love each other like Jesus said? Well, sometime the conflict brings more trouble, and sometime the conflict makes a peace and security. Now, we have to figure out what we will stand for in our own country. It's not going to be an easy thing in these days of conflict with people wanting to say, oh, come support this, come support that. We have to use our discernment and grasp and understand what is the underlying situation. Because we have conflict all over. Yes, in the Middle East, in Israel, in Ukraine. Oh, you know, it's kind of interesting. Well, when I think about the people of Palestine who have surrendered, it has often been said that they surrendered because they ran out of ammunition. Even in Ukraine, the forces, the military there, has said they have surrendered to Russia because they have run out of ammunition. And now Ukraine is coming to the United States and saying, we have run out of Javelin missiles. We don't know what to do. You need to supply us with more Javelin missiles. Well, that's one of the things that is going on in the world. By the way, they have used so many of the United States Javelin missiles that we really are running low on them. We had built the Javelin missiles for 7 years, and 7 years of production has been used up pretty quick by Ukraine. And now we have to build more in America. So it's something to consider about peace through strength. I don't know if that's true, but I was just saying about the people who had to surrender because they ran out of ammunition. And it's something which, it's a factor. And do I know what to really say about it? Not really. But I know that it's something, because we live in the world that is full of trouble and violence, we have to be careful about what actually goes on. Of course, we look forward to a peaceful world. And that's why I like Luke chapter 2, even 1, 2, and 3. For those chapters talk about Jesus in the world and how there will be peace on earth and goodwill toward men. So that is the hope of the world, peace and safety. Oh, that's right. There's that that biblical phrase of peace and safety, and then sudden destruction shall come. So we have things going on that we know happen in the world, and what should we do about it? Well, I always like the idea of preparation. Prepare for a time when things get more difficult than they are today. But that is for each one of us to decide. What would you do? What should you do? Should you have all this preparedness stuff? Well, that's up to you. It might be a good and wonderful thing to do. I'm sure there are many peoples in the world who wish they had prepared more for trouble. But the big thing that we have to remember is prepare to meet Jesus. That's what I think, because this life on earth is short, but eternity is long. They say it's eternal, you know. So we have to just make sure that we have evaluated our life experience so that we are able to embrace the truth of the Bible, which is Jesus Christ. And knowing that truth, we want to share it with other people. And we do that through Christian ministries. And we have witnesses that are in the world. Often enough, they are called martyrs, Christian martyrs, who die for their belief and will not reject Jesus Christ. Probably that's what happened with our founding fathers also. They pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to each other. And there were more than a few of our founding fathers who lost everything they had, all their riches. They even lost family members. They even lost their own life because they pledged to each other their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor for the sake of the Republic of United States of America. And we have a constitution that we give thanks for and have to figure out how do we uphold the constitution and the Bill of Rights so that we are able to maintain our freedom. And I think of Benjamin Franklin, who was asked what kind of a government we have, and he said, a republic, if you can keep it. Nowadays, there are many people who don't know the difference between a republic and a democracy or any other form of government. We're not very good at describing Marxism or communism or socialism, and it could be a pretty hard lesson that we have to learn if we don't know what we are supporting for our economy and our government and our society and our family. So we have some things to remember. How do we talk about this to the people we know and love? How do we propose to share the love of Jesus with our neighbors? And that includes our very close neighbors, our family, our spouse, the people that are always around us. Now, there are people in our country that are military people, and they know that they want to support the United States government and its constitution. And many of them have seen the troubles that have gone on in the rest of the world, and they like the way America has become a system of prosperity and government. So let us know what the system is and support the system of being a republic with our governing the way it is, or even the way we want it to be, with our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. Well, we all have things that make sense to us. Oh, as to preparations. Oh, and speaking of preparations, We all have a different idea of what they are. I know the ones I talk about are water, food, and warmth. But there is also what is so basic in the way of first aid, and that is, how do you treat even the most simple of first aid injuries? Okay, well, I'll go over my list here. Here, what I talk about all the time is to have a few of those very basic things, which are medical tape, triple antibiotic ointment, gauze pads, and medical tape. This is the fundamental of my very basic first aid kit. But you can always add things. It might be the larger gauze pads. It might be burn ointment, which, by the way, is very important because burns can be quite painful and disabling, especially when they happen to children. So I do like to have burn ointment, and there are other things that are just always a good idea. It might be medical gloves and a dust mask. It might be earplugs. It might be a whistle and a compass. It might be wooden matches or a space blanket to provide warmth for someone who is injured. All these things are on a list of what you might want to have in your first aid kit. But it's always different for everyone, so by all means, have a look and make a decision or two on what you should have. A part of some people's first aid kit will be a toothbrush and dental floss, or it might be some light rope, or a flashlight, or a Swiss Army knife for cutting those medical pads into the appropriate size. There's all sorts of things. Some people will even have over-the-counter medications like ibuprofen and acetaminophen and some other kind of Benadryl or an Imodium or its equivalent. Oh, there are just so many things that just make sense, but everybody has their own idea. Some people will want to have water and a snack. Might be a pemmican bar. It might be beef jerky. It might be a Coast Guard food bar. We all have different ideas, but I certainly urge everyone to look around and see what they can do to provide a little bit of comfort in their first aid kit. And we all have a different idea of what it is. In my first aid kit, I also have paper and pencil. Because if we are providing first aid to somebody, we need to write down what we have done for their care. Even if it's to give them a fever reducer, that should be known if they are going to the care of somebody else or maybe a hospital. All those things have to be understood. So, yes, make notes. Remember to write things down. But there are things that we have to do to protect our republic and preserve our freedom. There are an involvement that we need to have with our political system. We need to hold our politicians and our government officials to a high standard. And there is so many things going on these days where the government officials seem not to have a very high standard of righteousness. And if we do not hold the people to righteousness, then we will have a continuing deterioration of our country. So So we have to figure out how to get this and what we are all to do. We have all sorts of things that appear to be coming our way. Many of them are not good. Yeah, it looks like trouble is coming our way because we have allowed unrighteousness, you could call it corruption, to come into our society and into our political system. If you look at the number of political people that have received special benefits because of their position, it is showing you that corruption is coming our way. And if these special people, politicians, continue to benefit from the public's treasury, we can only guess what is coming. And we might not know exactly what to do to preserve our godly righteousness, but we sure better think about it. We better think about all the things that are going on in society, how we are having troubles with the highest levels of government and the lowest levels of society. Why, let me think. The number of young men who do not have jobs is in the millions. The men between age 25 and 55 that don't have jobs is in the millions. Why, they're not even looking for a job. That's what the statistics tell us. So, what is the dynamic that is going on in America when people by the millions do not work? And of course, that does not include the undocumented people that are coming across our southern border by the million. Million! And that number is actually a mystery because the documents are not there. But there are estimates of people who have a position of authority, and they are estimating, well, probably the lowest estimate is 5 million undocumented, illegal people coming into the United States across our southern border. The number is easily 25 million, in my opinion, but there are people who say it could be more like 30 million. And all these people are looking for a job. They want to find some work. They might want your job or your children's job, or they might want what you have. And they might think that it's okay to take what you have. So we have a situation in America that is certainly becoming more and more visible as a problem. And we have Bible truths that we can reflect on. Like, if you do not work, you shall not eat. But what does the government do? Gives out a great big supply of free meals. And yes, they are costing the citizens many millions of dollars. And I don't know how we're going to afford to do that. It is quite a story about what is happening in America and how we continue to go into further and further in debt and provide services and just good things for all sorts of people. But our country is going bankrupt. And what do you think is going to happen when our country goes bankrupt and can't afford even to turn on the electrical lights in a government building? See, the electrical lights right now, if we want our government buildings to have electricity, our government is having to borrow money to pay for the electricity to turn the lights on. Our government is having to pay to have repairs done to the government buildings, to have repairs made to our roadways and bridges. Our government is having to borrow to pay for the services that we give to everybody, whether they are legal or not legal. Our government has no money. We are out of money. So we borrow, borrow, borrow. And one day, we will have to pay it back. And it just might happen that the banks will own every bit of government property in the United States. So be prepared for some really significant changes to happen in the United States. Now, things have happened all over the world, and there have been troubles everywhere. Oh boy, I'm just thinking of as a part of the ministry that I was with for about 15 years, we had an outreach to the Hmong community. And I always liked having that outreach because when the Hmong people were in and around Vietnam or Laos, there was a government program that helped the Hmong with weapons of war if they would help the United States military if, for instance, a flyer crashed and they needed help. So the Hmong really saved very many lives of American servicemen in Vietnam. And, well, I got to know quite a few stories that came out of the Hmong community that were in the time of the Vietnam War. And so I have been very grateful to those people who helped our military men. Yeah, I know it was a long time ago, 60s and 70s, but they still did that. And so as a part of my involvement with that ministry, there were many times that I had dinner with the veterans of, they called it the Secret War, because it was kind of a secret. But there were people who I had many dinners with, including General Vang Pao, and there were quite a few discussions about the Hmong people being good citizens in the United States. But also there were war stories. I heard many war stories of what people did during that Vietnam War and afterward. You see, afterward, those Hmong people went into the jungles of Laos, and they tried to subsist there and get by in the jungles. And it was a very questionable living because there was never enough proteins and carbohydrates. They ended up, for instance, there would have been communities in the jungle of thousands, like 10, 15,000 people who lived in a general area of the jungle of Laos, mostly. And they lived by subsisting on processed bamboo and roots of many different kinds. What a life that was. But there's one thing that really surprised me about that group of thousands. The young people in that group, even though they lived in Asia, had never tasted rice. They didn't know rice. And rice is so common in our world, so common in Asia, But there they were. Many of them had never tasted rice. It astounds me, even today. Well, my point is there are people who have a whole different situation. We in America want to have peace and have freedom in our land, and we help people that are not free. And how do we propose freedom in the world? Well, part of it is to have our republic in the world, and that means the principles of our founding fathers. It's not democracy, but that's what we are told over and over again, that our government is a democracy. No, it's not, but we have a democratic form of election, but our government is a republic. And so that is something that has been promoted in different countries. Oh, even by missionaries, that republic form of government, but also faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I bring up that situation with the Hmong people in Laos and Vietnam because they have gone through so many trials. And the stories about the Hmong community in Vietnam or Laos, where they have sacrificed so much to save American lives, is an amazing story. And so they were able to stay free because they stayed out of the way of civilization. And I think of soldiers or people who are fighting for freedom. And when they run out of defensive weapons like ammunition, or I just talked about the Ukrainians and the missiles that they ran out of. I'm thinking of the people in Palestine who surrendered in mass because they ran out of ammunition. Ammunition is something that is not plentiful, even in America. In America, we have many men with rifles, but very few with ammunition. Now, with the Hmong people, when they were in the jungles of Laos, they had situations where a small group of men would go on a mission, and they would pass the hat for a man to put a bullet, maybe even two, in the hat so that they might have more than the 10 bullets that were kind of normal. Yeah, they had a rifle, but they didn't have any bullets. So I think that's kind of an interesting situation for here in America for us to look at. We certainly do not have very many bullets, very many ammunitions. And what if we needed to do something? Oh, yes, to defend our country. Oh, that is a question that is coming up these days. Now, we do have a strong and wonderful country, a strong and wonderful military and police. But it could be that the American people might have to defend their homeland. And how are you ready to do that? You know, we love Jesus. Of course we do. And through Jesus Christ, we do have freedom. And he, in our Bible, talks about the blessing of freedom by examples here and there. So we have a conflict going on in the United States of America with the peoples of it, just like we have peoples in the world. Peoples in the world have conflicts, and now the conflicts are coming to America, partly because we have millions and millions. Oh, the estimates are 5 to 15 million, and sometimes 30 or more million of people who have already crossed our southern border into America. Do you think they have just learned the Constitution and the Bill of Rights? No, that usually takes a little time, but all of a sudden here they are expecting to get what they need for free because they have already received so much for free already. Well, we have a situation where we have an uncertain future, and that is a part of why I say to get the basics of what we need: water, food, and warmth. Now, you know everybody has their own idea of preparedness, and some people will say, have batteries also, have a way of producing electricity, have matches. Oh, yeah. Well, there's a lot of things we could have, and they will all be helpful. But I think of, what does anybody need? Sometimes we have to learn to use what we have, and I don't know what it is. We all have different things that we learn how to use. Oh, for instance, if we didn't have matches in our society, if we were in the jungles of Asia, those people might not know how to strike a match, but they would sure learn quick. And maybe America will have to learn very quickly how to do that very basic of preparedness for whatever is coming, because we have so many people from the whole world coming into America. And we want to show the joy of Jesus Christ to the world. So we get a chance to do that as the people of the world come to America to show them the love of God through Jesus Christ. But it's not always an immediate thing that happens. And we might run out of resources. And the people who come in might have great expectations of what they think you and I should provide, or what the government should provide. Now, this would lead to a conflict, at least potentially, because when somebody expects you to give them what they need, I mean, think of your own family. Perhaps you have noticed that somebody has come to you and wanted to get $500 for their expenses, and they expect you to provide that for them. Have you ever noticed that they might not be happy with you if you don't give them the $500? Well, what do you think would happen if people come to the United States as migrants, and they know that America is rich and powerful, and they have given the American government has given them food and comfort for a number of months. But what do you think happens when it stops? What if we can no longer afford to give food and comfort and clothes? Well, you just might have that ungrateful relative thinking that you owe them something. It's a good question. It's not that I know the answer, but I know that we are all human, and the people on earth have expectations. And you have to be very careful of what you have proposed to show people or give people or allow their expectations of you to increase beyond what you can easily afford to give. It's a problem. America has these things going on, and of course, yes, it is with missionaries, and it is with what we can generously give, but that's not the whole answer. And we have a set of conditions that are coming to our land where, yes, millions of people are coming in, and millions of people need jobs. And millions of people will not get what they expect. Do you think they're going to look to you to provide it? You, the rich American, have all sorts of things that they need. And if they were a relative of yours, which you did not help, that relative might take something from you because you were selfish and didn't give it to them. Look, I don't know how things are going, but I know that America has lots of people expecting good things from the government and the people. And now, at this time of year, when we are a Christian people, and we want to share the love of Jesus with people, if we have nothing extra, we can provide nothing to people who have a need. And that's something that I would urge you to think about for what you might want to have on hand so that you can share materially the good things that God has given you and allowed you to have. We have a lot of expectations. And on the opposite side of that, we have a lot of people in the United States who study the economy, and they will say that our economy is heading for a wreck. It cannot be continued. It's going to crash. Now, I know, because I have studied countries that have crashed a great deal. I have studied these things somewhat in school, but mostly because of my own curiosity. And I don't know how we're going to get through a time of our huge national debt. $34 trillion of national debt. How are we going to pay it off? Well, there's a lot of people that expect the United States government to bankrupt itself out of it. Now, I don't know if you and me or the other people who are in the middle class are going to be able to bankrupt out of what we owe. That typically does not happen. We have a financial system that holds people accountable for what they borrow. And we have authorities, you know, government people and government, the big money people, who are not held accountable for what they do or borrow or anything else. All it does is it points to a crisis that could easily come to all of America. And we don't know exactly what will happen, but we ought to prepare for just a little bit of what kind of dangers could be coming our way. And that's why I say prepare, well, firstly, with your relation with Jesus Christ, because we all know people do not live forever. And when death comes, we will want that relation with Jesus Christ. So accept him as your Savior, and then do his will in your life. That's what it's all about. You want to be saved? You want to be yielded to Christ? Well, go ahead, give it a read. Read that New Testament. It's not that much to read, and certainly everybody has read books upon books, so those few hundred pages of the New Testament might save your eternal soul. So maybe it's Christmas time. Maybe you can give somebody a Bible. They might need a large print Bible. They might need a study Bible. But it's a good time of year to make a good gift and to do something that supports the understanding of God through Jesus Christ can only be a good thing. And think about the missionaries here in this country and in the world. Oh, there are missionaries all over, and try to support people. The world is a better and happier place when we know Jesus Christ, when we follow the good works of Jesus Christ. And that's what I hope you look at how to do. Support those missionaries. Now, I think of the missionaries in other countries, how they still go into the lands that are poor and persecuted, and they still talk about Jesus Christ, even though they might go to prison. See, that can be something we can use as an example and say, thank you, Lord. Maybe I can do some good for the kingdom of God. Tell other people about Jesus, because the hardships that are coming are going to be unknown, but we can guess, because of what has happened to other countries, that we might not have gasoline. We might not have electricity. We might not have an ATM. We might not have who knows what. But it's always a chance for us to have some good things that we can share as we represent the love of Jesus Christ to other people. And so think about that. You might want to get some preparedness supplies for the people that you love, your family, your friends, and that way they will be better able to withstand the difficulties that certainly appear to be coming to America. Now, if they don't, well, it's still good things to have. A cooking pot, propane stove, all those things are still good to have. But if we have a hard time, they are essential. So think about what you can do to help prepare other people and your own self to show the love and kindness of Jesus Christ in a difficult situation, which we just might be in. So remember Jesus in this Christmas season, and know that he came to earth to save men, and we want to show our allegiance to Jesus Christ. I like to think of reading the first couple of chapters of Luke. Read Luke chapter 1, 2, even 3. Those talk about the time of Jesus coming to earth. And it is such a wonderful and glorious reminder of what Jesus has done for us. Of course, the whole Bible tells about what Jesus has done. So, yes, read a little bit here and a little more there, and give thanks to God that he has provided salvation through Jesus Christ. You can always look at any past episode of Christ Today by going to www.christtoday.org and show the love of Jesus Christ to the people around you. May God bless you and be with you, and let us follow Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Christ Today is a listener-supported ministry. Send your checks or donations to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Again, that's John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927.